Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you now. We come to your word like little baby chicks in a nest crying for food. We come to you longing that you would multiply to us your bounty and that your Holy Spirit would be present here in our hearts, opening our hearts to receive the word and giving us the words to say and filling us with your joy and peace in believing. And we pray that the name of Jesus Christ, our great Savior, might be lifted up. And we pray that our hearts might be prepared for this week, Lord. We need food. We need to be fed. We need to be shepherded. We need to have that feeding and that watering from the still waters that you provide. Because we need great strength and great help this week, Lord. So many pressures and many stresses and so much work to do. Grant to us great energy and help. And Lord, we just come to you in need. We need great faith, Lord, to trust you and to remember that the fullness of your love passes all understanding. It is a love that passes knowledge, and that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we ask or think. And we pray that the greatness of our great God might be seen this morning as we study your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. We've been going through the book of Luke. Someone wrote a book about Luke, and it was titled "The Most Beautiful Book Ever Written." I love the Book of Luke. It gets passed over sometimes by us, but I just love the Book of Luke. But it's a glorious book. It's the longest book of the New Testament, and many wonderful pearls we find in the Book of Luke. And let's begin reading. Luke 9, let's begin reading at verse 1, get some context. And he called the 12 apostles together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. And do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And he sought to see him. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. But there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. And this is a remarkable passage. For Sunday school, I like sometimes to use people or have an illustration and so forth. So, anyone want to volunteer? I was going to do this if the Boscoviches came, but I forgot it was Sunday school and they aren't able to make it sometimes. But I guess maybe we can just skip that. But anyway.
I volunteer.
Okay, Jerry. Come up, Jerry.
I'll take that.
Jerry, you know what one of my favorite drinks is? Lickenberry juice. I think
I'm glad he answered that.
I would like you to give us all lickenberry juice. Yeah, he can't do it, can he? He doesn't know what he did. Okay, fine. Go to the store and buy lickenberry juice. And why don't you get extra for like all the kids next week? And oh, he doesn't have money for it.
That's fine.
All right.
Come on.
you can sit down.
But I can't cooperate.
Oh.
So obviously the apostles here, they are they come to Jesus and they say, oh, look at all these people. All these people are hungry. Of course, we've already had breakfast, so I couldn't say that. But he said, oh, look, all these people, they're hungry. How are we going to feed them? How are we going to do this? And Jesus says, oh, you give them something to eat. You give them what they're supposed to eat. Now, part of the reason I have this read the context is because Jesus had just done a pretty amazing thing. He had just sent them out through all the villages of Israel, and he told them to go from village to village, and he gives them some interesting instructions that we had. Verse 3 says, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have 2 tunics. And so he says, you know what, I'm going to provide for you. You just trust me, and I'm going to provide for you. And they've been seeing God provide for them. They've been having faith and exercising faith, and God has been providing for them through their faith. But then, now they come to hear, it's different, you see. It's different between you're just two of you and you just need a place to stay for the night and people are being hospitable for you. And this, now they're out in the countryside, there's no food around anywhere, and the people are hungry and tired, and they're just sitting here listening to Jesus, but now they're hungry and tired, and how are we going to feed them? The food isn't here. It's not here. How are we going to do this? And, well, Jesus says, you give them something to eat in verse 13. What is it? That's an uncomfortable position to be in. Sometimes the Lord puts us into uncomfortable positions, but he does these things to increase our faith. He puts us into positions that we might not have anticipated or wanted or desired, but he does these things to build our faith so we can trust him that he will provide for us, that he's able to provide no matter what happens. Sometimes he scrambles things up for us a little bit. We plan the best that we can, But he mixes things up a little bit. Like we have right here. And so, it's late in the day, and the 12, they've got their idea. They've got their plan. The 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find a lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place. So they've thought about this, and they're looking, well, what are we going to do? Well, this is the only thing we can do. This is the only thing we can do. And they fall back to this plan that's pretty, it's pretty miserable. It's kind of a letdown. They've been spending all this time getting healed by Jesus and hearing his word, and it's starting to get dark, and now suddenly there's going to be this huge, encroachment of this concentration on the physical. Oh, well, we've done all these things. We've healed you of your diseases, but we don't have the power to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the power to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes missionary works will decide to that they're just going to focus on the spiritual things, and that's perfectly fine, but we all know about missionary work that have been very much involved in feeding people physically, that people that were starving, even. And where did all that food come from? Where did it all come from, month after month after month? Nobody knows. It just seems to magically materialize. How on earth did we ever manage to do that? It's entirely mind-blowing, but God was in it. And when God is in it, he will make it work. He will make, when God is in something, he will make it work. He won't leave you hanging. God will never lead you into a work and just leave you hanging there. There have been a lot of times for all of us that we've been in a situation and we say, oh, what now? What do I do now? But when God is in it, it always works out. Everything always works out. And that's what we see here through this story. And so Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. So they say, well, what do we have? And that's a great starting point. When you're in a situation that requires you to exercise faith, We don't just sort of look up to heaven and wait for the loaves of bread to come falling down, tumbling down out of the sky. It always starts with what you already have. Because where did those things that we already have came from? Those are from God as well. Those are from God as well. But even as you go through the Gospels, you see that the miracles and the other things, they're never just magic tricks. Like you, when you read in some of the annals of the early church, you read about trees talking and some people of a very impressionable sort putting very strange things like that, in the record and saying, well, this happened, that happened. There's just a lot of, very strange, things and miracles out there, but when you read the Bible, it's so different because they're not just magic tricks. They're very purposeful and very deliberate. And it's not just something done to make people go, ooh, ah. But God works with what he already has. And that's really something that I see over and over again with the miracles. When he heals someone, that person's body already has the ability to heal itself eventually, most of the time. But Christ, he infuses this extra power. When he's going to work with the man who has a withered hand, he says, stretch out your hand. Now the man's not able to do that. He's not able to stretch out his hand, but there's a command given, and it's not just that Christ snaps his fingers. There's a, God works with what he's already created and what he's already given to the person. He's already given that person a hand. It's right now it's withered, but he's already given that person a hand, and he says, stretch out your hand, and it will be healed. When Peter and John, they're leaving the temple, and there's this lame man who's begging for alms, and they say, "And here's what I can give you. In the name of Jesus, I say, rise up and walk." And they lift the man, and immediately his ankle bones receive strength, and he's able to walk and leap and praise God. He's excited. But God worked with what he had already given to that person. You know, sometimes God gives us things, and they don't really seem to work, or they don't seem to work very well. Sometimes he gives us a job, and it doesn't seem to be making very much money. Or sometimes he gives us a skill or an ability or an opportunity, and it doesn't, it's not really working. Sometimes he gives us a car and the car is not working. It won't start. It has trouble. He gives us different kinds of things, but God works with us, through things that he's already given us frequently. He'll take something that he's given us and then multiply that and do exceedingly abundantly with that, above all that we can ask or think. But that's the situation that we see the apostles in here. And they say, look, we've got 5,000 people and we've got 5 loaves of bread. Are we going to break each of them into 1,000 pieces and give a little, you know, crumb to each person? You know, what are we going to do here? How can we do that? But the disciples' first step was their own carnal reasoning. And then the second step is to say, well, what do we have? What do we have? And God is going to take what they have and really use it. And then the third step is that they're going to obey and look for God to bless. They're going to obey and have hope and look for God to bless. In verse 14, for there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so and had them all sit down. They still don't know what Christ is going to do, but he says, have them sit down in groups of 50 each. And so, now it's starting to look kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You're going to have them all sit down like you're going to have a meal, but where's the food coming from? They have no idea where this food is going to come from, but they have to go and tell everyone, sit down in these groups. And Christ, he's just very nonchalant, and he's just saying, as he said, first we're going to do this, now we're going to do this, so now have them all sit down in groups of 50 each, organize them, and so forth. What are they going to do? And what are they going to do with these people? And it must have been kind of ridiculous. I wonder if some of the people were asking him, so why are you having us do this? Are you going to feed us now? What are we eating? What's for dinner? Bread or peas or soup or what are we going to have? And you can just imagine that happening as they go around and make all the people sit down. I don't know how long it took. There were 12 apostles, 5,000 men, so it's probably not that long. And you divide that out, it's like maybe each of them goes and has. You can divide it out to like 10 groups per apostle if you do that, but I don't know how they did it exactly, but it might have taken some time to do that and get everyone organized. You know, sometimes it takes time to get people organized. But and they probably felt pretty silly while they were doing that, but still we see that they obeyed the Lord. That they had, even though they struggled with their faith, as Christ so often said to them, "Where is your faith?" He so often said to them, "Oh, ye of little faith," and recognized that we have so little faith to trust in the Lord. When you're doing the will of God, you don't have to fear anything. When you're doing the will of God, you can believe. When God is in something, He's not just going to leave you hanging. You can believe. But how often we have little faith? How often our little faith leads us to pray little prayers? How often our little faith prevents us from seeing what we ought to see and having a true grasp of reality? How often it causes us stress and fear and anxiety? How much stress comes to us through our lack of faith? And sometimes we want to go and blame the Lord for it. I've just had this, life is just so hard for me right now and all this other stuff. I find myself doing that, and then I realize that a lot of the stress that I'm having is because I'm not believing. It's because I lack faith. But, okay, so Christ has them all sit down by 50s, and then verse 16, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. So he takes these 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then he looks up to heaven and calls down a blessing upon those loaves and fish. And the disciples may have, this is kind of a dramatic thing. And we see this of the Lord Jesus. He had this faith. He just knows his Father is there, and when he wants to talk to God, he just looks up, you know, and he talks to God, and he blesses the loaves and fish, and I just think that's neat. But look what he does with these mundane items, the loaves and fish. He recognizes they're not just loaves and fish. You know, to man's eye, the whole numbers thing is kind of down here. There's only 6 of us here right now, and from man's eyes, it's 6 of us meeting at this little church seems pretty mundane, pretty small, and we have a mission team come and it doubles our size. Even though not everybody from the mission team was able to show up, still doubles our size. We're a small church, aren't we? We're a very small church, but in the book of Zechariah, I think it is, God says, despise not the day of small things. Mm-hmm. He says to Zerubbabel, he says, despise not the day of small things. And then he tells them, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, that the Lord of hosts. That this is how the work of God is done. It's done through small numbers of people. It's done through insignificant people. It's done through weak and miserable and silly instruments. That's how the Lord does His work. Weak and miserable and silly am I. You can all answer that after a couple of days here. How weak and silly all of us are, but God, the weakness of God is stronger than men. Foolishness of God is wiser than men. And all the things that we thought were so important, God doesn't need those things so often. It's little mundane things that He gives to us that are important. But notice that anything that the Lord gives to us is important and valuable, that He calls down the blessing of heaven on these loaves and fish. They're just loaves and fish. You think that God can put His blessing on our loaves and fish and food, supplies and other things, that little bit of money that we have and all those things, you think that God can do that? And you think that God can provide, you know, sometimes, you know, I work a lot. I've got multiple things going on during the week, and I work a lot, and it's a lot of, it's hard work getting money. It's hard work surviving. It's hard work. I'm hoping to go back to school and trying to save up for that, and all of that is, it's hard work. It's a lot of work, but something that, you know, I know that God could snap his fingers and give me all the money that I need. I saw him do that once, almost literally. I remember it was a Tuesday, and I wanted to go on the mission team. I didn't have the money for it. It was like $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the money for it, so I talked to my dad about it, and he was like, oh, he's like, oh, well, you know, it costs a lot of money. I was like, well, God will provide. Then I was praying, like, Lord, can you provide for this? And the next day, I had entered this writing contest, and like the grand prize was like $3,000. The next day, I got a check, the largest check I've ever seen in my life. Like, whoa. At that point, I realized, you know, that I felt like that was God saying yes, that he wanted me to go ahead and do it, and so forth. So, but God can provide money that way, but if he calls us to labor at great cost and difficulty, as we often find ourselves doing, if he calls us to do that, it's not just because he wasn't able to provide us the money that we needed. It's because he had a work to do in our lives. It's because that he had something to teach us and he had people for us to meet and know and work with. But we shouldn't ever look down on anything as being mundane. Whether God's provided you $250,000, it's from him. And when the widow woman who was in such poverty came by the offering plate, the rich people came by and they tossed in tons of money. And Jesus is watching all of this, and the widow person comes by and she puts in her two farthings or whatever it was, and Jesus says, to his disciples, he says, Peter, John, did you see what that widow person did? And I'm like, oh no, I didn't see that. I noticed the rich people putting all the money in, but did you notice that widow woman, she put in more than they put in, because she put in all her living.
Mm-hmm.
And now that doesn't mean that we're going around asking widow women to give all their living to our church. That's not the point of that. but I just, it's interesting that to God that was more value than all that those rich people put into the offering plate. And you know God blesses when we give them. He does bless us again. But I didn't want to leave this point without noticing how real this blessing is, and the great effect of this blessing that Christ puts on the loaves and fish, and thinking about what we're about to partake of with communion. I think every time the communion, the Lord's Supper, is spoken of in the New Testament, it's spoken of in terms of blessing. That Christ blessed the cup and gave it to his disciples. That Christ blessed the bread and gave it to his disciples. And there is this great blessing. When Christ blesses something, it's not just speaking empty words into thin air. It's meaningful. When Christ blesses something, there's truly is blessing that is conveyed through those elements. It's meaningful and just an extremely joyful thing. There's thanksgiving. a cup of blessing which we bless, Paul says, is it not the cup of the Lord, the cup of blessing which we bless? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to partake of the cup of blessing. We can go out today, we can say, God has filled up my cup of blessing, because that's how God refers to the Lord's table. This is the cup of blessing. And of course, we know that it represents Jesus Christ, the bread and the fruit of the vine, represents Jesus Christ and his body being broken and his blood being shed. But what a blessing it is to remember Christ, to remember his death for us, giving his life for us. And there's a very real blessing on it. It's not just a formality that we go through, but as our minds are in gear and our hearts are in gear, as we partake of the elements, God uses it. But so what happened? Christ blessed them. What was the effect of this blessing? Did it make the food taste good, or just here's the effect of the blessing? It's a very big thing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. How's that for understatement? They all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces. It was bread that the Lord had blessed. It isn't just bread. You can't just throw it away. It's bread the Lord has blessed. You have to collect the pieces. We can't let any of it go to waste. We can't let any of it go to waste. And I'm thinking, if I was there, I would be incredulous. Wait a second, you just made all this bread, and why are you so worried about some of it getting thrown away? You just break more. We need more bread. But the point is the value that the Lord bestows on the things that he gives to us. And it was the Lord's bread. You couldn't just be careless with it. It belonged to the Lord. And so we as Christians, God gives us things. He gives us money. He gives us other resources. But we still don't have a cavalier attitude with them. We're still frugal. We know that the Lord could provide us all the money in the world for whatever we need, but still frugal because it's the Lord. It's what the Lord has given to us. He called us to be a steward of it. So, I want us all to put on their thinking caps. Anybody think of good application for this? Something where I can't think. What? How could we apply this? How could we exercise faith? Is there anything that the Lord might want us to exercise faith about this week? See, we can trust the Lord. This is the same Lord and Savior who is our shepherd today. And will be our shepherd all our lives long. He will provide for us. He will lead us in everything. In every change, he faithful will remain. And in everything he calls us to, he'll give us the strength and help that we need to do it. I'm doing so many things right now that I'm not able to do and not capable of, and I just throw up my hand and I'm like, okay, Lord, whatever comes along, you'll give me the strength to do it. You'll always enable me to be able to do this and have the strength, whatever you put in my life. And that's a good lesson to learn. I remember the second time I ever preached, I think it was to I was to a large church in San Francisco, and it was, I think there were 500 people there. I am not a public speaker, and I've never been a public speaker, but I said, well, Lord, I'll pray, and you'll give me the strength I need. And just through trusting the Lord in that, it was just a really powerful thing, I think. And, you know, there was one person there in the audience, and the Lord burdened me down, and I was just praying, Lord, make this a blessing to that person. And after the service, he came up to me, and he just told me how much of a blessing it was to him. It was a really neat thing to me. I got to meet him and talk, but maybe I'll tell you a story about him later. He's a very interesting person. But the Lord, he always provides. Any opportunity that he gives to us, he will give us the strength to do what we need to do. And we don't need to fret. If God provides something to you, then it is from him. But if he doesn't provide something, it's because you didn't need it. If somebody can't make it to our mission team down here in Knoxville and our VBS because of some kind of crisis emergency, then guess what? It's because we didn't need it. And God knew that we didn't need it. And so everything's fine. Mm-hmm. And he'll provide in everything. So, you know, so much, I love the song, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. He says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I guess that's a different song. I can't remember what the first line of it is, but that's fine. But I really love that song, and it's really true that most of the troubles that we have are our own doing. It's because we don't trust in the Lord. It's not because the Lord has just piled on all this weight that we can't bear. We just can't handle. Well, maybe we can't handle it in and of ourselves, but he's going to give us the strength and ability to handle whatever he's given us to do. He said, I just love this too. He said in Luke 18, I think, you know, which father of you, if your son comes up to you and asks for a piece of bread, will you give him a stone? Or if you ask for milk, will you give him a scorpion? God's not going to give you something that's hurtful to you or harmful to you. And it's really sad how we turn things that he gives us a lot of times into, oh man, I can't believe I got to do this. I can't believe I got to do that. When everything, we should know that everything that our Father in heaven gives to us is for our good. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we walk by faith and not by sight. Give us grace to do that. Give us grace to serve you. Give us grace to love you. Give us grace to know your goodwill toward us. As Apostle Paul prayed, that Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith, we being rooted and grounded in love may be able to behold the length and the breadth and the depth and the height, know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. We might be filled with all the fullness of God. We know that your fullness and satisfaction and peace, it comes to those who believe. Those who believe in the greatness of your love. And those who believe in your faithfulness, that not one word will fall on the ground. And those that believe that every necessity you will take care of. And all of our needs you will satisfy. And every work and opportunity that you give us, you will give us the strength and ability to do it. And anything that, Lord, if you tell us to gather the people by 50s have them sit down on the ground. You'll provide the food. If you tell us to, like you told that army back in the Old Testament, go and make the valley full of ditches, then you will send a great abundance of rain to fill up those preparations that we've made. So grant us faith, O Lord, and we look to the Vacation Bible School coming up. Grant us faith and trust in you and understanding you are faithful and that you are good and looking to you to provide for this ministry. And Lord, we know that if one single person comes, that we will work with them for the glory of God. Or if dozens of people come to our Vacation Bible School, we will work with them for the glory of God. Lord, we probably need prayer that we'll have enough helpers that we'll be able to contain all the great riches that are ready to pour down on us. But whatever you give, Lord, it doesn't matter whether it's much or few. It matters who gave it, that it came from God. And so we do give this to you, Lord. It's not our work, it's your work. So many things caught us by surprise with the this mission team and even the fact that we were doing it at all in some ways. And Lord, it's all from you, and you were in it, and it happened because you wanted it to happen. And so we just pray, O Lord, and we beg and plead with you that you would forsake not the work of your own hands, because all of this, it's all the work of your hands. Nothing of it is ours. Nothing of it is ours. And we trust you and rely on you. In Jesus' name.